tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Wednesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook.
Sided.
I'm Rob. That's Sook right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Kind of rainy.
Yeah, just a scooch.
Just a scooch.
Just a scooch.
Just a scooch. Although the weekend's supposed to be nice, guys.
Oh.
Forgot to put that in my in-the-news report.
Get a little golf in there, will you?
No.
No.
Golf.
I got a bum
golf.
Shoulder, dude.
Oh, that's right. You got rotator cuff problems.
Yeah. I may be down for a while. I need a new arm.
I like that you're taking the approach of, I'm just not going to do anything and hope it gets better. I like it.
I think so.
Hide in the closet and see what happens.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think those rotator cuffs often just heal on their own.
Hell yeah.
Not certain that's the best strategy, but I like where you're going with it.
Well, I didn't ask for your input.
You did yesterday.
No, I didn't. I just asked what my injury was. I don't need your input on how to deal with said injury.
All right. Okay? So we diagnosed it, and then after that.
That's right. I went home and told my wife.
Well, no, I don't know.
I was like, Sook says it's the rotator cuff, and she looked at me with that face. You know that face that your wife gives you when she told you the exact same thing, but you didn't listen? It was that. She was like, yeah, I told you that 5 days ago. I'm like, ah.
Damn it.
Yeah, but Sook said.
Yeah,
I mean, he's had a lot of surgeries and stuff.
It is true.
She's like, I was a nurse.
What would you say you do here?
He, though, was a nurse.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm actively hurt all the time.
That's right. Well, I mean, look, if my body is injured, I tell you, there aren't many people I'd rather go to about it than you.
Yeah.
You know everything about it, all ailments.
I always appreciate when someone has an injury and I've never had it. Because a lot of times when someone does get hurt, I'm like, oh, yeah, I've got that. But every now and then you throw a new one out there. But rotator cuff, oh, yeah, that's old hat. You lifted your arm and it took me about 2 seconds to be like, oh, yeah, that's the rotator
cuff.
Dude,
I can't lift my...
Yeah. Told you about the modality of the rotator cuff and,
ouch.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah. I can't swing a golf club, bro.
You and Tiger Woods, man.
What am I going to do?
Just talk about how great you were at one point.
That's right. Maybe I'll go up to A&A and just bet a bunch of money.
That's
I mean, I love him, but what a bitch. Get real drunk.
Don't tell Dan Lanning about it. He'll tell you that rotator cuffs are, it's a choice.
Maybe I'll
lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go.
Well, we won't be talking to him tomorrow because he's ducking us this week.
Yeah.
But next time we talk to him, maybe I'll have to ask him about it.
Yeah.
What should I do about this?
He's probably going to tell you to rub some dirt on it.
Ignore
it. Yeah.
Kick the ball, you little bitch.
What he's going to say.
Coming up this hour, our running backs having a resurgence, what the college football playoff bracket would look like this week, and some other cool stuff. But right now, the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh.
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
A little bit of quarterback news out there in
quarterback land,
football land. Derek Carr will be back for the Saints.
Does it really matter?
No, I don't think it does.
Yeah.
They're awful.
If you're the Saints, there are several teams that need to do this, but it's time to mash the reset button and just clean house and start again, because Derek Carr and what you have in Dennis Allen is not the answer.
Would you trade for Derek Carr if you were, say, like a Minnesota?
No, because I think you can do
Indy.
You could do the same with Sam Darnold. Yeah, Indy would be interesting because I'm not certain that I trust Joe Flacco to stay healthy. That makes, if you're trying to make the playoffs and you're a team like if Sam Darnold will gets hurt, absolutely. Call and go get Derek Carr.
We also have the Panthers, who are saying that they're going to start Bryce Young again. And I forgot about this, but that running back that they drafted, Jonathan Brooks, He may make his NFL debut.
Has he been hurt this entire time?
Yeah, he's been hurt the whole time because he got hurt. He got hurt at Texas.
When's the last time?
He was good in college. Yes. I think he's going to be a good NFL running back.
Except he's playing behind that Carolina O-line. Dang. Carolina is just, they're objectively bad at everything.
Sam Leavitt is back at quarterback for Arizona State. He will start for the 5-2 Sun Devils. They get to take on Oklahoma State in Stillwater.
Hey, Kenny Dillingham has done a really nice job down there at ASU. And he's a fun little story. He's very bro-y, but
I'm 40!
I can get on board with what the old Sun Devils have going on down there.
Yeah, Leavitt cracked a rib against Utah, but he's tough. He's like me.
You and the rotator cuff.
Pride of West Lynn representing.
That's right. West Lynn kid. I root for the Sun Devils.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a fun story.
I don't know why, but I do.
Well, again, he's a very likable guy.
No, but I mean, I've kind of always liked them.
Is it just because you like Hots and the weather? And
well, I do like Hots and I do like the weather, but no, I wouldn't say that's it.
There's really no reason.
I don't know what. I can't explain
reason
it.
To like Arizona State.
Man crush on Dillingham. That's it, isn't it?
I mean, I like him, but
was it Todd Graham? Is that what did it for
that
you?
That sparked it.
Yeah. No, Herm really almost lost me as an Arizona State diehard, but I'm back. Yeah. The White Sox have hired a man by the name of Will Venable as their new manager. He is 42, former player, spent the last two seasons as Bruce Bochy's guy in Texas.
You know, turn around.
God, somebody said he's a former Portland Beaver.
Is he really?
Yeah.
I remember him for a long time with the Padres.
Oh, yeah.
How many losses did the White Sox have this year?
121, bro.
121.
Well, I guess.
What do you think about that?
I guess you're starting from the bottom, right? I mean.
Now we're hit.
You can't get any worse.
I see him. I could not have picked him out of a lineup.
No, I have no idea what he looks like.
He looks like.
His dad was a pro ball player, too.
He looks like Wamser.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that I can picture.
And is that good or bad? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Does he wear scrubs a lot, even though he's not a doctor? Number
two. Career stats?
Number two.
You're just an okay kind of utility outfielder.
249 with 81 home runs in 9 seasons.
He was just kind of there.
But hey, he can manage.
Hey, better than a sharp stick in the eye, right?
The Blazers visit the Clippers tonight. Paul George was dealt. I don't know how many people know that. Probably a lot of you. Kawhi Leonard is hurt.
Again.
So LA's leading scorers right now are James Harden and former Blazer great Norman Powell.
Hey, look at that. Have you seen new building, the Intuit Dome that they did?
Inuit.
I thought it was
Intuit.
Inuit? Intuit.
Intuit.
Oh, it's not the...
It's not the Eskimos, no.
Yeah, it's not for the Native Americans.
Why not?
That thing...
That's discrimination.
That thing, it's on Native lands, take a moment to acknowledge. Dude, that place is kick-ass.
I've heard mixed things, though, because...
What do you mean?
It's visually it's kick-ass. Like, everything is set up super nice, but I've also heard they're still working out the bugs with everything being on your phone and all through an app. Like, they've made it the highest tech... Yeah, they've made it like completely transactionless.
Well, what's cool
all
about
on your phone?
Well, like
I haven't seen it.
First off, more toilets than any arena.
Yeah, we know that.
But like behind where the visiting team shoots free throws, they built they call it the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They made it a student section.
Yeah, right.
And it's cheap, but you have to be a diehard fan. They vet you. You have to be vetted to sit behind there. They stand up the entire time. And then they have this big kick-ass 360 video board that goes around. It looks really, really sharp.
Yeah, and even though it sounds kind of like Big Brother, they like identify fans that are the most active, and they try to give them those seats.
Yes. That's
so
cool.
That it's like,
like that's a good idea.
Yeah, he has tried to make this. Like Ballmer set out to make the best experience for fans, and I mean minus the whole bugs with
the actual.
Yeah,
like,
there's no cash. You do not need to bring cash for anything. You can't even pay with it. Yeah. I'm sure that's
you can't get
bit,
in with a ticket. Yeah, it's
awesome.
All of that.
Hey, maybe a reason to watch the World Series Game 5 tonight in the Bronx. Garrett Cole, Jack Flaherty, Dodgers up 3-1. The two ejected Yankee fans from last night said that they are allowed back in the stadium, but not so fast.
Yeah.
They have now been denied. MLB stepped in and said they should not be allowed back in, so they are not. Their names are Austin Capobianco. And John Peter, and they claim they knew they were in the wrong, but everyone knows they patrol that wall.
Yeah, they said they would do it again. They've talked about doing
it. And now the social medias are saying that their tickets have been redistributed to a 15-year-old pediatric cancer patient and his mother.
Oh, and that's nice.
Yeah.
But hey, who's going to patrol that right field foul line wall?
Well, people have also pointed out that that cancer patient and his mother have the opportunity to do the funniest thing ever if Mookie Betts makes it over to their area.
Oh, my God. Dude.
Now, okay, would that be funny?
That would be amazing.
Because we've given, I mean, I think these guys are douchebags. Agreed. And I think the Yankees are being way too easy on them. That said, if they did that.
It would be the greatest.
Oh, my God.
I don't even want to go there, but yes, it would. I was thinking of a terrible thing, but it would be amazing.
All right. There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com. College football playoff bracket next on The Fan. All right. What's going on? Aaron Judge just hit a home run.
Yeah, two-run job.
Yankees up 2-0 in the first.
My biggest sports nightmare would be the Yankees actually coming back.
Yeah, that would not be good.
And not only would it be the Yankees coming back, but this would be my nightmare in that, you know, if they came back and pulled the Red Sox. Did Chisholm just hit one? Yeah. Yeah, I did.
3-0.
3-0.
Oh, dear.
If they come back and were to win this, the series, those dip S's in right field.
They'd have a car in the parade.
Yes, they would.
Austin
and John. They would become.
Oh no!
They would be local legends. They would be at the parade, and that can't.
Yeah.
We can't,
because they
that.
Wouldn't have lost
no,
since
that. Yes.
Oh no! Yes. Yeah, you're right. Yes. Go Dodgers.
And then Gronk would be there and be like, "That's my hockey buddy. He's a beaut. Let's rage."
Annoying. Well, now to a real sport: college football.
Yeah, there you go.
I always like to look, well, with Oregon being number one, you know, it's kind of fun to look at the bracket each week.
Oh, yeah, see where it'd line up.
Yeah, see how it would fall. Now, last week, Oregon being the number one seed, they were going to play the winner. If they're the number one seed, they'll play the 8-9 winner.
Yes.
And 8-9 last week was Tennessee LSU. This week...
Oh, I know who's 9.
This week, 8-9 is Tennessee Notre Dame.
Oh, I guess that was... The one I was looking at was the AP... BYU's
well,
9.
Well, but what they're projecting on this one is that BYU wins the Big 12, and they would then be the 4 seed.
Okay.
And so then on that side of the bracket, it would be Oregon will play the winner of Tennessee Notre Dame, and then Penn State Boise State would be the 5-12 winner playing 4 seed BYU. And then over on the other side, all the good teams are on the other side beside Oregon. I mean, you have Georgia having to play the winner of Texas and Texas A&M.
That'd be something.
And Miami had to play the winner of Ohio State, Clemson.
I didn't realize this, but I think it was Brett McMurphy that had this. They said that all the preliminary schools that would host a first-round game that didn't get the bye said that they would indeed host at their stadium. And I was like, what do you... Of course they would. But I guess if you, that first round, so it'd be 5, 6, 7, and 8 host. I guess you have the option to have that game at a neutral site if you'd rather.
Really?
Yeah, which I found to be completely bizarre.
So if Boise State hosts Penn State?
Boise State could choose to have that somewhere else.
But like anywhere?
That I don't know. But when I saw it, it was, oh my God, I think Stanton hit another. Oh, okay. Never mind. I thought Stanton hit another one. No, it was a weird report saying that all the schools had indicated that they would choose to host. And that led me to do a little digging. And that's when I found a thing saying that they have the option to hold it at their home stadium or a alternative site. And it didn't say anything more than that. And I haven't seen anyone else read on it other than McMurphy did confirm that you do have to choose to have it at your place. So I guess maybe if Boise, like if it was really snowy, right? Like in December in Boise, and you didn't want to play outdoors in the elements, I guess Boise could choose to then go play that somewhere that's in a dome.
If Boise State would be the only one that wouldn't maybe play at their home stadium, but I don't know why they wouldn't, because one, you want to reward your fans.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. And two, you go to a neutral site, you're going to get more fans from Penn State than your
team. Yeah, it seems like giving up an obvious advantage.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing I'd be, I guess, if you just want more fans, more money.
Would Miami doesn't have much of a home field. Would they go neutral?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know why they would either.
Supposedly, all the teams that were approached that are in the initial rankings, they said, no, we're going to have it at home. And I just thought that was a weird little nugget that I had never considered that someone would turn down. And can you imagine the flack that you would get from your fans if you turned down a home game?
Yeah, Oregon's like, ah, we don't want to play.
You guys made the playoff.
We're going to go down to Vegas.
Yeah. You guys have another place we can do this, right?
I'm assuming, that would be my thing, is I'm assuming you could choose a place like Vegas or SoFi if it was available, whatever.
There are a lot of little nuggets like that. I'm rooting for the off-chance possibility that Texas and Texas A&M play three straight weeks. Did you see that?
No.
So, right now, I just mentioned that...
It's the last game of the year, right?
Right now, the 7-10 matchup would be Texas-Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. Of course, if it ends that way...
Yeah.
You then have, let's go back. They are going to play the last game of the season no matter what.
Yes.
It's on the schedule.
Yeah.
So Texas, Texas A&M could be the two teams that then play in the SEC title game. Mm. So if they play the last game of the regular season, then they play in the SEC title game, then they match up. I guess that they couldn't, right? Because then the SEC champ would be one of them, and then that team would get a bye.
The only way that could possibly happen is if somehow the SEC champ wasn't a top four team, and that's not going to happen.
No, because the SEC champ, the top four teams are the champs.
I know, but my point is Boise State or the Group of Five champion technically could bump one of the others out. But
if BYU's ranked third and they don't win the Big 12, or not BYU, let's go Boise State is ranked third.
Yeah.
And they're the top Group of Five. They get a bye in a home game.
Yes, the home games, the first four go to the four highest ranked conference champions. So yes, in theory, a Group of Five team could be ranked higher than a Power Four champion, and that Power Four champion would not get a bye. Now that's not going to happen, but like in theory, let's say Boise's got one loss. Let's say. You ended up with a three-loss conference champion team that somehow is a three-loss team, backed their way into a conference title game, wins the conference title, and yes, I could see that scenario where Boise or a team like that would get a bye, but it's not going to happen.
Did you know that Mike Riley is on the selection committee?
I did not know that Mike Riley's on the selection committee.
Well, you do now.
Oh.
Because he is.
Is that all he's doing? He's not doing any of the UFL stuff anymore, is he?
Does the UFL exist?
Yeah, right? That's the one that stuck around, the combination.
Where have you guys been?
I don't know, but he's on the committee. Right. And Barrett Sully? I don't know. You guys know him?
I think it's Barrett.
Sully?
Barrett Saley?
Saley?
I think.
He had a little nugget, and he was reporting that the two semifinals this year are in Dallas and Miami. Mm-hmm. And the number one seed will go to the city closest to its campus. So if Oregon is the number one seed, they win their first game, mm-hmm. And go to the semis, they will play in Dallas. And he was pointing out that could be bad.
Yeah.
If
that could be real bad.
You get a Texas or Texas A&M or I don't know, SMU.
Yeah.
In that game,
yeah, because you get the
you
crowd
don't
would
get
be, would be packed.
You don't get to choose between Dallas and Miami. Yeah. You go to the one closest to your campus.
You're playing in their backyard.
I mean, really, if you're playing anybody from the SEC, it seems like or Big 12. Texas is not great for Oregon.
Well, Michigan was number one last year, and they would have gone to Dallas to play.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? Although, you know, those tickets. I mean, you would get a lot of Texas fans, but I would assume. The ticket allotment is going to be fairly evenly split, and then it goes down to the secondary market. I mean, it'd be a lot, but it wouldn't be a Texas home game.
No, but you wouldn't want to play that.
No,
I mean, that's
no,
a,
you wouldn't.
There'd be a lot. Dude, if they played in Dallas against Texas, that's 75% Texas. No, that's 80% Texas fans.
It certainly would be an awkward moment for college football. Because they don't get the choice.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Oregon LSU in Dallas to open a season, and that was 70-30.
I would assume in one like this, though, because again, each school is going to get their ticket allotment, and I would assume that more Duck fans would travel to something like that than an opening game. Look, it would still
probably.
Be a mass. It would be it would be a bigger Texas crowd, but I don't think it would be an 80-20 split. I think enough fans would understand the assignment and pile over.
I mean, I also went to the national championship game in Glendale. I think you guys did too, and it was at least two-thirds Auburn fans, and
well,
that was
to
in
be
Arizona.
Fair, they just that's almost everywhere you go.
Yeah,
SEC and Ohio State fan and people like that. Same thing with like Nebraska; they just travel better.
Well, and
bigger fan bases, they travel more.
Yeah, Oregon's not. I mean, Oregon fan would not compete with any of those big programs in terms of travel.
I mean, the other thing too, like you look at the enrollments. Like Ohio State has like 50,000 students, and Oregon's like 20.
Yeah, we've never been to one of the Duck Bowl games where there it's been
more than 50% Duck. Yeah,
no, never. I was surprised even at Autzen how many Ohio State fans were there. There were a lot of red.
Rose Bowl against Florida State was pretty good. That was I didn't feel like the Ducks were necessarily outnumbered in that one. That felt about split.
Couple of queries on the text line. Who do you root for, Texas v. Texas A&M? They both are extremely annoying. Good question. I would root for Texas A&M.
Yeah, I'd go with Elko.
Another one says, do we want Penn State to beat Ohio State this week, which would probably mean Oregon would play Penn State instead of Ohio State in the title game?
Yes. To me, given
my
choice,
you want Penn State.
And I know Ohio State's beat up. I don't know what their situation is with how long those guys are out for, but Ohio State was the definition of a coin flip game. And on a neutral field, I would be much more worried about that. I just have not been a believer in Penn State all year. I think Penn State is a bit of a paper tiger. And I think they're lucky that they're playing Ohio State when they're beat up. I would much rather, if I'm a Duck, play Penn State than I would Ohio State again.
You're making me uncomfortable.
All right, up next, do we have a running back resurgence on our hands? Here's Buck. All right, this may be our final sports trick of the evening. I don't know.
Sports!
But reading in the Wall Street Journal today, they were talking about the running back resurgence. You know, the running backs last offseason, boy, did we talk about them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get paid.
No.
You know?
No. But now with a
lot... Nobody wants to pay them.
A lot of the way that these defenses are running... You know, the best way when someone's going to give you a soft shell, keep everything in front of you, the best way to get someone out of that is to run the ball. And a lot of the good coaches, whether you're talking about O'Connell and LaFleur and Shanahan, so much of what they do is predicated on play action. And well, you can't have good play action if you can't run the ball. So there is a resurgence in run games.
Well, run games, yes. But that... The old adage is anybody can do that.
Yeah.
We'll just draft one. We won't pay him very much. Yeah. But what this article was pointing out is that only three running backs this year are averaging over 100 yards per game, and all three of them were key offseason acquisitions.
Well, you got what? Probably Saquon, Derrick Henry, and who else?
Joe Mixon.
Ah.
Those three.
Yeah.
So in a season where rushing yards per game are higher than any season since the 1980s, mm-hmm. These three dudes specifically... I mean, they paid Henry $8 million a year.
Yeah.
And he's 30 years old.
Yeah.
And he's by the way, if you haven't seen, Derrick Henry is averaging 6.5 yards per attempt at age 30.
Yeah, well, and he's an absolute freak. And he's really being used as a closer for them, too, in that it feels like even when he's getting kind of shut down, there's an inevitable big run coming. And then Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia... looks like the old Saquon Barkley.
So Henry, he is more than a yard better than his personal best at age 30 at 6.5 yards per attempt. Mm. And they said no player has faced a higher percentage of runs with 8-9 men in the box than Derrick Henry. Yeah.
And he just keeps
he's dominant.
Yeah.
So what do we think could happen because of this? If run games are becoming more and more important, and now we're seeing the value of acquisitions like Barkley and Mixon and Henry, do running backs start to get paid?
Yeah, I mean, I still think as long as you have, because I think who's the guy in San Francisco that replaced McCaffrey? Mason,
Jordan Mason,
right? is having a nice year for San Francisco, and
but they need McCaffrey.
They need McCaffrey. I just think as long as you have, you're still getting guys that are in the third, fourth, fifth round. As long as you have the Kyren Williams popping up in LA, look, you'll get running backs paid. Green Bay paid for Josh Jacobs. You mentioned Barkley and Henry. I just don't think you're ever going to see that position again get paid the way we do some of the other big high profiles. Like what is the highest running back contract in the, I'm assuming it's Christian McCaffrey, right?
I think so too, but we'll figure it out.
I'm going to pull this up right here. Highest paid running backs. Scroll.
Right here.
It's gotta be Christian McCaffrey. And while I mean, it's a nice little chunk. It's $16 million a year. I mean, Brandon Ayuk was insulted by the offer of what was it, 28 a year. And they get into Alvin Kamara at 15, Jonathan Taylor at 14, Saquon Barkley at 12, Josh Jacobs at 12, Mixon's 9.9. So, I think you can see some people uptick. Like Derrick Henry got that year, the 2 years in Baltimore, but at $8 million bucks. Yeah, so I still think there's great value in running backs, and I don't think... I just don't think you're going to see those backs get paid because year after year after year, they don't. I mean, they just...
Yeah, but again, these guys were all three off-season acquisitions, and they are leading some of the best offenses in the league.
But the problem is
and not everybody can do that. Like Baltimore... Look, Baltimore would have a good offense no matter what.
Yes.
But Derrick Henry is different.
Yeah. But I still think when... Like, this is the problem. It's like Saquon Barkley, right? Like, he had that big year in the big contract in New York, and they were like, dude, we're not going to give you more money. We don't believe that you'll stay healthy. And then the Eagles come along, and they're like, oh, we'll pay you. And Saquon Barkley is having a really, really nice year, and they paid him a nice chunk of change. Again, $12 million a year. But if Saquon Barkley gets hurt 4 weeks from now, no one's giving him that money again. In fact, let's be honest, when he plays out these 3 years, no one's giving him that money anyways. There just isn't enough guys that are consistent after the age of probably 28. Derrick Henry may be the outlier of outliers. I still think in the world where we're having to pay quarterbacks $60 million, the running back thing is still going to be draft one in the first round, use him for 5 years, franchise tag him once or twice, and then let him walk. And even if he has a big year 1 year somewhere else, you're still going to be better off than having to try to pay him big guaranteed money for 3 and 4 years. I just don't believe that is ever going to turn around in the NFL. That's the Jonathan Taylor model. That's what, like, the Jim Irsay thing. He's like, yeah, I know it sucks, but it works. As long as we draft you in the first round, we control you for 5 years, really cheap. And then we can franchise tag you for two, because the franchise tag, unlike quarterbacks, it's not that much.
Do you really want to draft them in the first round, though?
I would, because it gives me an extra year of control. I can literally use up a running back for 7 years before I have to decide to pay him any sort of real money. I mean, that's pretty tasty. By the time, most of the time I get to the fifth or sixth year, I'm like, yeah, someone else can go do it. And if Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley burns me for 1 year, that's all right. I'll live with that. I'll move on to the next guy. Cause there's so many of them that come into this league, and they come Bucky Irving, right? Bucky Irving is having a monster year. Did he go in the fifth round for Tampa?
Fourth or fifth, I think.
And by the way, Bucky Irving's not an all-world player. Bucky Irving in 3 years will be a forgotten guy to the NFL.
He's just a dude. He's a plug-and-play guy in the NFL right now.
He's around four.
Remember when Austin Eckler was like this monster there with the Chargers? And then what did the Chargers do? They're like, yeah, you're good.
Where's he now?
He's in Washington. And by the way, their run game's really good. But you know what Washington's getting Austin Eckler for? $4 million a year. Four. Gibbs has been really, really good in Detroit.
But he's been sharing the load with David Montgomery.
David Montgomery. And in a couple years when Gibbs up and Gibbs is like, hey man, I want 15, 16 million bucks a year. You know what the Lions are going to say? Yeah, we'll find another one of you. We're going to franchise tag you. We'll give you $11 million for 1 year, and then you can go find somewhere else, and we'll go draft a guy in the second or third round that has your skill set. It's the one position, I don't necessarily say it's plug and play. It's the easiest position to transition from college to the NFL.
Yeah, when you have to make decisions somewhere, that's where they're going
to
make it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
No, right. It's just the easiest place to do it.
Easiest place to do it.
Is it fair to say there's the lowest drop off to like the next tier, the next level from like a...
Yes.
A serviceable player?
If I have a good O-line and a good scheme, we're going to be okay. Matt LaFleur, was it against Tennessee? I got to look this up. What was the game where Matt LaFleur, earlier in the year when they went to Malik Willis for the first time, and I think they threw the ball like 8 times. I gotta pull this up. I swear to God, Matt LaFleur ran a wing T offense. Mm. I never seen anything like it. They just came out and were like, yeah, we're going wing T. And he ran a creative run scheme, and it was phenomenal. And he did it. And yeah, Josh Jacobs is a solid back, but they kind of do it by committee, and it works. If you have a good old line and a good scheme and a coach that can draw stuff up, yes, you can really make do without an elite back. Now, Christian McCaffrey and guys like this and Derrick Henry, they're so special, but they're few and far between. And if you're asking me, would I rather have to pay someone 16 or 20 million bucks or just keep cycling through? You know, and by the way, Christian McCaffrey has been a beast in San Francisco, but he was a beast in Carolina. What was the problem? He was hurt. And what's Christian McCaffrey right now? He's hurt. Hopefully he comes back.
He's dressed up as the Tin Man dancing on TikTok with his wife.
So fingers crossed that McCaffrey comes back, but I think some of us forgot that you're paying him a lot of money with a really sketchy history, and now he hasn't played all year. So, you know, it's we'll see how this thing plays out.
All right, primetime follow-up coming up next on The Fan. Okay, I got a quick follow-up for you bros, broettes out there.
Hee-hee, bad you don't.
To the NBA.
That's such a good drop.
It is. We're talking the NBA.
Yeah, well, I wanted to point something out because I'm telling you.
Okay.
Because was that yesterday we did our NBA seggy?
I think so.
We did an NBA
runaround where Joe Mazzulla wanted people fighting.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he wanted some fisticuffs.
And do you remember in that segment I was telling you, watch out for Danny Ainge and the Cooper flag sweepstakes?
Yeah, the tank off.
Did you see what happened last night?
No. What did they do? I'm guessing they lost.
Well, they lost
a lot.
They are 0-4. Mm-hmm. And Lauri Markkanen, their top player,
he goes down
with a back injury.
Wow, I love the nondescript lower back injury.
So he played the first half.
Yeah.
And he sat out the second half.
Oh, I see him in here. He has 7 points.
And they lost. And he is their top scorer. I'm telling you, Danny Ainge wants Cooper Flag.
It's on.
It is on. And it is on in the first freaking week.
You know what Blazers that is? Blazers messing around winning games against the Pels.
You know exactly. What that is? That's called setting the tone early on. There's a quick, what hope, and he needs to be in Utah.
Did you hear the other Flag news? That Cooper Flag's brother, Ace Flag, committed to Maine.
Ace Flag?
He's playing at Maine?
Yeah.
Where are they from with the Flags?
I don't know, but he doesn't look like an ace.
Boy, I'll tell you what. You name your kid Ace.
It's bold.
It's a bold statement.
I don't like that name.
It's a bold. Yeah, if you told me that we're going to hang out with Ace, I'd be like,
you know
oh
who Ace is?
God.
He's the guy, the Yankee guy who was messing with Mookie Betts.
Yeah. Oh, Copa Bianco.
Yeah, Ace Copa Bianco.
Hey, Ace.
Or Capo Bianco.
Hey, maybe. Don't mess with me. I'm a bro.
Yeah, he is. I see him right here in his Maine Black Bears shirt.
Well, so the Utah Jazz are about to be the Filipowski Eubanks Juzang show. Get ready.
So you're telling me those sons of bitches from Utah are first off,
dude,
they're stealing our baseball team, and now they're going to steal our great white hope? I don't
it
like
sure
this.
It sure appears they're zeroing in on Cooper Flagg.
One bit.
And they've played 4 games.
What if we got Ace Flag instead?
Yeah, Flags!
That would be a very Blazery move, wouldn't it?
We can't get Cooper Flag, but we get Ace Flag and Ace Bailey, and we can be double aces.
We captured Ace Flag.
We did capture Ace Flag. We captured the flag. That's not the flag we're looking for.
We captured A Flag instead of C Flag.
It's A Flag. It makes sense.
Oh, apparently the flags are from Maine.
Oh.
Yeah, I think it was a local, a hometown pick.
Is it one of those two where the brother's not very good, but his, you know.
I mean, if he were anything like Cooper, he wouldn't be going to Maine, I don't think.
How often does a top athlete come out of Maine?
Isn't that where Donovan Klingon's from?
Maine?
I think his mom played at Maine or something like that.
Well, they call him the Block Lobster.
I think he's from Maine.
I don't know if he's from Maine. He's from up in that area. But I don't know if he's from Maine.
Greatest athletes from Maine.
I was Googling it right when you said that.
We have Joan Benoit.
Who?
Huh?
She was the marathoner. You don't know Joan Benoit?
No.
Yeah. They're famous.
So Klingon's from Bristol, Connecticut, but his mother, Stacy, played basketball for the University of Maine.
How about Seattle Mariner great Bill Swift?
Oh, Billy Swift. I remember him.
Boy, I'll tell you what, it's
slim.
It's rough, because you know who's on here too is Scotty Too Hottie.
Who's nice. That?
He's a wrestler.
Yeah, he was a wrestler.
Scotty Too Hottie?
Yeah, when the list involves Scotty Too Hottie.
F is happening.
Hey, Bob Stanley, Red Sox.
This is Bob Stanley.
You don't remember Bob Stanley?
No. Of the Stanley Cup?
No, Bob Stanley pitched it. Bob Stanley was one of their better pitchers during, like, when he played with Bruce Hurst and Bob Stanley, and he was one of the Red Sox guys when they lost to the Mets.
YouTube chat pointing out that Ace is the name of Kiefer Sutherland in Stand By Me, his villain character.
You dime store hood.
Yeah, that's right.
Boy, I'll tell you what. If we're doing a power ranking, Maine's not looking so good.
Is that
Mike Bordick?
Do you think that that's the state with the fewest number of great athletes ever?
I'm guessing maybe one of the Dakotas or something might be pretty rough.
New Mexico?
Yeah, but that's no good. Look, when you said Benoit, the Joan Benoit.
Like, what's the Mount Rushmore of Maine? It's not good.
Well, it's probably Cooper. Honestly, it's probably Cooper Flag right now. Yeah, Flags! Yeah.
Is Ace Flag on there with Cooper?
Boy, it's Scotty Tuhati's on there, for God's sakes.
North Dakota has Carson Wentz. Oh, wait. That's
already better.
Is Danny Woodhead from South Dakota or North Dakota? He's from one of those places.
Danny Woodhead? Wait, that's the college. Never mind. I want the state. This is good. I like this bit. Somebody needs to put this together. This is right up our alley.
Yes.
States with the worst athletes.
Yeah, it's horrific.
Well, the worst famous athletes.
Well, New Mexico at least has Brian Urlacher.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Okay, no, New Mexico's already way better than Maine. They got Urlacher and Jim Everett. Okay. And Bregman.
The best athlete from every state.
Well, but this is, like, I'm just saying, like, they've got three athletes that are all better than anything that Maine is bringing to the table. Bregman, Everett, Urlacher, come on. And they don't have Scotty Tuhati.
They should.
South Dakota has Brock Lesnar, mm-hmm. Becky Hammon, and Mike Miller.
Yeah, dude, it might
That's pretty rough.
It might be Maine.
Billy Mills.
You know who else was born in? Now, he went to high school in California, but Ronnie Lott was born in New Mexico.
I've got a full list of 50 states and kind of all their most notable now. So
New Mexico's sneaky good.
North Dakota.
Scrolling. Got to get to the ends, you see.
This isn't going so well.
No. Well, it will be in just a second. M,
what
still
is
more M.
Over there.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Buckley.
North Nevada, New Hampshire.
Not a good.
I told you I had the
not
list.
A good game.
No.
Like Roger Maris, North
Dakota. I
could have
Googled this already.
Roger Maris, Jim Kleinsaucer, Rick Helling.
What about Delaware?
Travis Hafner.
Go back up to Delaware.
I'm already there. I don't trust Buck to go and scroll.
Well,
took me
probably
2 seconds to Google it and pull it up.
Randy White, Delino DeShields.
Randy White of Cowboys fame?
Yes. And then Delino DeShields, Mark Eaton.
Oh.
And Michael Stewart of boxing fame.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Am I on the Kansas one?
for the Pheasant Bowl?
The Kansas one has Barry Sanders. I don't think you're going to make this one. Barry Sanders, Gale Sayers, Walter Johnson, John Riggins, George Brett, Judy Bell, the golfer.
Brett was from California, though.
He's probably born there, though.
Jack Christensen, Lynette Woodard. And Mildred Burke.
Tell you what, Vermont's pretty lame. Pretty weak here. We got Keegan Bradley.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's...
That's the best you got?
Dude, it's a bunch of people that I've met. Ross Powers? Does anyone know who Ross Powers is?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, is he a race car driver?
He's a snowboarder?
Oh, that's right. I think he's a gold medalist, actually.
I don't know, man. We got...
I still Hannah might contend Teeter? That Maine is the worst.
Vermont's got some, like, snowboarder skier types. John LeClaire was a Philadelphia Flyer. He's from there. I'm telling you, dude, Vermont may be the worst. They don't even have Scotty Tuhati. They got nothing.
Well, there's your Cooper Flag segment of the day.
Yeah, there you go. And watch out for those bastards.
Montana's basically got Phil Jackson, and that's kind of it.
It's better than anything that Vermont's got.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. I had no idea that Cooper Flag was from Maine. That's so weird and random.
Well, and so is Ace Flag. Don't forget about that.
So do you think he is going to, when he gets drafted by the Blazers, he's going to refuse to come to Portland?
He only will go play
and only go to play in Portland, Maine, instead of Portland, Oregon.
I see what you did there.
You know?
Or Jody's going to have to move the Blazers to Portland, Maine to get the Flag family on board.
Damn Flags.
All right.
Yeah, Flags!
Thank
we
you.
We do love our Flags.
Let's move on to some topics of substance and grit.
Well, it's about time. You need to have some courage.
Yeah, you've been lacking courage lately. Let's see if you can step it up this club.
See what I can do.
Lace them up, you little bitch. Let's go.
I have Oregon and Washington's favorite Halloween candies.
Okay.
And
I had a Halloween candy discussion today.
What is the best way to track the confidential movements of world leaders?
That's such a strange segment. All right, let's get into it.
Well, there's a story out there, and it's actually shockingly easy because of this one thing that's happening.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I had, shocker, I finally had a behavior of mine that you have, you are not a fan of. You have called me out many a time. We finally had an incident today over something that I do on a regular basis. I was screamed at by two very, very liberal old people, one wearing a Cal Berkeley shirt and the man not wearing a shirt at all.
Oh.
Yes.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Oh,
I ended
no,
up,
they were hurting you
ended
so
up
bad.
Being
oh, no.
Calmed the situation down, and handshakes and apologies were had.
This is a good
but
tease.
What did you do?
We're going to find out.
It is something that I have said I do many, many times, and you are completely against it. And I've never had it go awry, and it
blew up.
It popped off today like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, were you stealing more trail mix at New Seasons?
No. Nope. No,
but loud muffler.
But Rob has talked about this multiple times.
Is it something with your dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
That you say.
You put your dog poop in another person's trash bin.
Oh, I do that too.
Don't do that.
Wow. And I mean, wow.
Those
I've
damn
got
libs.
The poo in my hands.
Uh huh.
Libs can't handle it.
Trump for prison 24-year sign in their yard.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Tracy, this one's for you, baby.
It's like the Alonzo Mourning meme. 6 o'clock, Club 1080 next on the Fan.
I have concepts of a plan.